night on The Good Atheist, we talk about flat earthers, beauty pageant winners, and Orthodox Jews stoning dogs. Welcome to the show. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Today we have a little bit of a bad news and a good news scenario. The bad news is that, as some of you may know, some of you visitors to the site may know, I was supposed to do an interview on, I did an interview on Monday with the author of Why We Believe in Gods and A Concise Guide to the Science of Faith by Dr. J. Anderson Thompson. And I did do an interview, and it was awesome. It was like 2 hours and something. We talked about all kinds of interesting subjects, and unfortunately the program that I used did not record his version of the audio, and so I have about 2 hours of me talking to myself.
So you basically wasted a doctor's time.
Yes. Well, he is a psychiatrist, so presumably that's one crazy person who got 2 hours less of his quality time.
That's okay. You're kind of crazy, too, so we'll just maybe write it off as some pro bono work.
The cool thing is I have convinced him to do it again. Wow. The powers of persuasion must indeed be great, or he must think that I have some serious mental problems, whichever of the two. So we're going to get to talk about that again. So I don't want to mention too much about my failure other than the fact that it is hilarious and just another sign that I am just an ape. And, yeah, that was a bit of a fail there. Sorry, everybody. Sorry about that. Especially sorry to Andy, whose time I wasted majorly. But at least we had a good conversation, and he seemed to have a pretty good sense of humor about it. And what was cool, too, is that he sent me an awesome list of some of the books that he's read that he recommended, because I've started asking that of people. So he's going to be providing all kinds of really interesting links. So that's a message to you guys who do not use that part of the podcast yet. You know that thing that we say that we keep notes? I know that once in a while we don't, but for the most part we do. Trust me when I say that some of those notes, like there's some awesome links, check those out. If you're using iTunes, just go to the lyrics section, or you can check out the lyrics in your MP3 player thing that you got going on. So check out the notes, because he's going to be providing some books. That's next free show. So that's next week.
You know, it's interesting. I've never actually I've got an iPhone now, and I need to load some Good Atheist up into my MP3 player / phone thingamajigger and check out those because you've always sold it on. It's the best. If you have an iPhone, it's like bam right there. So I'm interested in checking out how that all looks and how it all works out.
You want to hear another hilarious, embarrassing story that only the people who check out the site on their iPhones might know?
What's that?
Okay, a couple of maybe about 6 or 7 months ago, or a bit longer than that, I had a special program that allowed it to, you know, if you visited The Good Atheist, it had a kind of its own design for the iPhone. It was specially designed for it. And and then what happened was that I was trying to get rid of a bad plugin in WordPress. And long story short is I delete the wrong one, and I deleted that one, and I couldn't find that version again that I had used. So it stopped working for iPhone people, or at least it didn't work as good anymore.
Oh, man.
Whoops. No.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can't don't feel too bad, you ape at a computer, you, because over my years of podcasting, I have also done interviews that I thought were being recorded, and then afterwards you realize, hey, it didn't record for some strange reason, and I just have nothing. And always an awkward conversation messaging the person back. Fortunately, the person that I had gotten in touch with also had the same program running, and on their side it had worked. So in the end, it worked out really well. He sent me his copy of the file, and it actually had him a lot clearer than me. So it worked out all for the better.
Man, that's ridiculous when you think about it.
It's lucky.
The odds of that happening.
I'll tell you what, though. It took me a good, like, 6 hours after I discovered it. I, like, went, sat on the back patio, smoked a cigarette. I don't even smoke. I'm just like, fuck.
I need a cigarette. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
There's nothing quite like having to admit to somebody else that you just had a really good, intelligent conversation with, hey, sorry, by the way, I forgot to mention, I'm a moron.
I'd just like to remind everyone that I am an idiot. Please carry on.
It's the I guess that's, you know, bad day at the office, quote unquote.
Yes. So a couple bad days at the office. Here's the good news. Well, the interview being redone is not the good news, by the way. The good news is my next guest that I'm interviewing, and hopefully not fucking wasting the time of, is Matthew Chapman. Now, if that name sounds familiar, and it might sound familiar to a couple of you, you may have read one of his books, 40 Days and 40 Nights, about the Dover, Pennsylvania trial. So he's a journalist who covered that. Or you may also know him as a director who just finished the directing The Ledge, where they're trying, and this is part of the reason why we're interviewing him, they're trying to get a wider release and try to get people to watch the movie on iTunes because it's available there, so that people so that it can be shown to be popular enough to be released. So our limited audience will contribute to perhaps the first major atheist-themed movie to hit wide release. So that's kind of exciting.
You know what's interesting about that? Once you interview him, that means that you're going to be 2 degrees of separation away from Liv Tyler, who's in this movie.
I know. That means
you're going to be 3 degrees away from Steven Tyler. So you're going to be 3 degrees away from American Idol. Woo! Woo!
Yeah! I'm there! Fucking there, man. It's happening. It's fucking happening. I'll finally be able to be that folk singer.
And weren't you mentioning that this guy is also has like some serious bloodlines?
Yeah, check this out, man. He is what we would kind of consider atheist royalty if such a thing existed, because he is the great-grandson of Charles Darwin on his mother's side. So he's related, because that comes from the mom, so. It's not one of those your pappy was not really your pappy situations. So at least that's good. So credibility-wise, it's pretty good. He's atheist royalty, and from everything that I heard, because Andy or Dr. Thompson, he likes to be called Andy, but we'll call him Dr. Thompson so it's more clear, was mentioning that he knew Matt and said, like, oh yeah, he's the nicest guy. So, looking forward to that one. So that's the good news. More interviews happening. There's even going to be more interviews after that. So we're doing that. It's just that we started off with a bit of a stumble. Sorry about that, everybody. Typical good atheist start. The starter pistol went off, and Jacob fell flat on his face.
Yeah, we flew too close to the sun, and our wings got fucked up.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when the first and only time I ever participated in a track meet event, which was unusual because no one knew that I could actually do sports, which I could. I wasn't great at it, but the reason I was in the track meet was for high jumping. Because during one like particular gym session, they were having a competition for high jump, and I don't know, I was in the zone, and I was the only one left after a kind of elimination king of the hill, and it just kept going up and up and up, and everybody was egging me on, so I was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, when you're in that zone, I guess I always perform well when I'm in that zone, and then you go to the track meet, and no one's egging you on, no one's fucking behind you. In fact, they kind of hate you, so I flubbed. I could not make the first jump, even though I think I came close to breaking a record of my own school. I'm like, congratulations, Jacob. Jacob starred.
Oh, the glory and the despair.
I see. The problem is the glory I find tastes too sweet. So then all of a sudden when you have to do the hard work of actually being good enough for that to be consistent, then you're like, oh, that's going to suck. This uphill battle sucks.
Yeah, resistance. We don't like failing. Yep. That's an ape thing. What can you do?
And it's so necessary to success. Speaking of failure, I want to talk about our first topic, which kind of came out of nowhere. And I recommend that you visit the site. Please go to the site. It's based almost entirely on an article that I had called "You Had Me at Dark Energy," and essentially it was just a link that I followed from Reddit. Their Reddit atheism. Somebody had put a link to the Flat Earth Society, so I decided that I was going to compile a list, which we'll read shortly, of all the things that they essentially believe in order to maintain the belief that the Earth is flat, right? And so I was just mentioning, saying, well, you know, we get so busy making fun of everything else that we forget that there's all these other hilariously stupid things that people believe. And so after I posted this, naturally, every time you link something, you get a track bag. So it invited, like, a whole bunch of these flat earthers came on the site and they started commenting on my article, obviously very displeased that I had was displaying such, I guess, you know, the fact that I had skimmed over their FAQ and not really done the effort of doing more to uncover their belief structure and saying, like, well, you know what, there's a lot more here than what you're saying, man, and your summary is unfair and you're closed-minded, you know, the regular rigmarole. We'll get into those.
You're not an expert in our idiocy and therefore you can't comment on it.
Right. Yeah, to summarize, that's essentially what we were accused of. But I want to read first the list of all the things the Flat Earth Society believes, because I wanted – I guess when I was there, I wanted to understand, how do you sustain this belief? I don't know if you read this. I'm sorry I didn't point this out. I totally should have, so I'm going to fucking hit you over the head with something you have not heard of. But it's an article that appeared in New Scientist recently called A Field Guide to Bullshit. I don't know if you heard about that. It was a cool little article that was just talking about how people start, you know, believe in fundamentally dumb things. And one of the analogies, or I guess metaphors he uses, I don't know if it's a metaphor, but anyways, he likens it to a kind of a black hole. Certain ideas are black holes. So they suck you in, right? Like they make you ignore all the other evidence around you that contradicts what you believe in. And the more you get into it, the more you get sucked into these. And it's even what's crazy about it is it's not only dumb people that get sucked into these types of intellectual black holes. It can happen to absolutely everybody. So I suppose I kind of wanted to, after reading that article and just finding myself on the page, I decided I kind of need to understand what these people believe and why they believe it. So I'm going to go through the FAQ because I think it's important to note how they believe what they believe. All right. To summarize, they believe that the Earth is a disk. I don't know how thick the disk is, but it does have a layer of molten lava somewhere in the disk, because they try to explain, you know, volcanoes that way. But this disk has two spheres around it, 32 miles across. One is the sun, and the other is the moon. And this disk is accelerating constantly. So this is what they believe in a nutshell. Okay. Now let's go into the details. So first of all, satellites are a lie, according to them. All sustained spaceflight is impossible, and all signals are broadcast from ground-based satellites. So there is no such thing as satellites.
That's just a big conspiracy.
That is a big conspiracy. So I don't know what you're seeing when you see those little moving lights in the sky. You ever see those that go across the sky pretty fast? Look like little stars that move really quickly.
The only stars, quote unquote, you see when you live in the fucking city.
Yeah, they're satellites. So those are, I don't know, I'm not quite sure how they explain how they're generated, these visible signals.
Well, if you'd gotten to page 36 of the FAQ, you'd know.
There weren't that many pages. Okay, the other thing that they believe is, as I mentioned before, the sun and the moon are 32 miles in diameter. Those are, by the way, not disks, but they are spheres. Only the Earth is a disk, however. Why? That's, again, not really that clear. It's really difficult to find out, and you'll see as we keep going. The Earth is constantly accelerating at a rate of 9.81 meters per second. And there's a reason why it's really per second squared, excuse me. And there's a reason why it's that exact number, is because if you you couldn't tell the difference between gravity as we feel it and acceleration at that speed. But the acceleration has to be constant. So if you accelerate at that speed constantly, you would experience gravity the same way that you and I experience gravity. Okay? So that's the rate at which this disk is accelerating, because that's the only way they can explain gravity. Or the feeling of gravity. So right away, we can kind of, I don't know if, can you spot the problem here? Let's ask the layman.
Well, spot the problem. Here, from looking at this entire flat Earth thing, the main problem is that they have established the fact that the Earth is flat based on some very flimsy evidence from very long ago. And from there, everything else they build around the theory that the Earth is flat, everything else has to fit into that. So the fact that the sun is like this and that it operates like this, they don't explain why. They just say this is how it works because this is the only way that it works inside our stupid theory.
Inside our model.
Exactly. They create all of the facts and there's no proof for any of it. It just has to be like that because that's the way it would need to be so that if in some weird way they were right, this is how it would actually operate, which of course it doesn't.
Right. There's also, according to some, a vast ice wall that protects the world's oceans from falling off the sides. Oh, by the way, the constant acceleration, if you're wondering what that's all about, essentially after about 58 years, the Earth would have reached the speed of light. And that's the kind of terminal speed limit. And plus, the real problem is you're like, how do you explain this constant acceleration? Because the problem is, it, given a certain amount of mass, it doesn't even matter how much. It could be a tiny, minuscule amount of mass. And speeding it up to a certain speed isn't too much of a problem. But once you start getting to those higher speeds, it starts getting progressively and or exponentially more difficult to get it to there. That's kind of why the cosmic speed limit exists. Like anything that has mass, in fact, would require an infinite amount of energy to get to that speed. And obviously that's impossible. You can get close to it, but you're not going to have a constant acceleration. That's not possible. There's a cosmic speed limit. And it's so weird how they try to explain it away. And cause I was trying to take as though the accusation was serious and be like, well, you didn't research more. I'm like, okay, I'll go into that whole part where you're like, see here how the explanation works. And they're trying to explain, well, here's how you don't reach the speed limit. Oh, man, your cat sucks.
I just smacked him. He's gone away.
Yeah, he'll be back. What was I saying?
You were going to explain basically how the Earth accelerates forever.
Oh, yes, 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 right. The way that they explain it is to say, well, from your vantage point, relativistically, you know, time and space would be different. Like at each point, because there is no one specific vantage point of time, he uses that as a kind of slippery way out of it, of saying, well, because at any other vantage point, it wouldn't appear as though I'm accelerating, then I'm not accelerating. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You keep accelerating. You're going to tell me that you're not anymore? And yeah, there is a speed limit to shit. That's the maddening thing about it. That's kind of like why you're in a train and you take like a flashlight, and if you measure the speed of that light, even with the added speed of the train, it's still going to go at the same fucking speed. Hello, cosmic speed limit. It's just there, you know? And it's weird to watch these people who obviously understand many elements of it, but crucially not, you know, a major one, the most important one, say, to make the whole thing actually work. It's just like how they absorb information is what fascinates me, because you mentioned it before. They have a model already, and they want to make everything else fit, and that's – We see that all the time, and we see that in religion, we see that in pseudoscience, we see that in New Age. Everybody just wants to make a model to try to explain something that they believe is real.
Don't leave science out of this as well. Many bad scientists do bad science from the same place.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, but science isn't a thing. It's a process. You know, if you were to say the process of improving your running – you know, if I look at you at the beginning of when you just started, I would say you're pretty shitty. But I mean, imagine now in today's day and age, as we are alive, you and I, 90% of all the scientists that have ever lived are alive today. It tells you something about how the process works. It's just, it needs a certain amount of people to participate in the process in order for it to work well. And even then, you're right, we do build models in order to try to understand things. They are models that allow us to make predictions. The hilarious thing about, obviously, the flat earthers is that they make all of their predictions, if they were make any, are wrong. They're hilariously wrong, and of course, they want nothing to do with any evidence that says otherwise. And some of their classic defenses, and you can see that if you go and you read the comments, because one point I think I'm accused, well, several points, I'm accused of being closed-minded, be like, clearly you didn't do enough research, like you said before, about this other nonsense. How can you have an educated opinion about it? You're obviously closed-minded, and you're a jackass. I don't necessarily disagree with the second part. I am a jackass, and I'm like, I presented the information in a very jackassy way. I didn't want to make friends. You know what I mean? I did not go on the Flat Earth Society site posting their shit to look like the good guy. I posted because I'm going to mock your beliefs, is essentially what I decided that I was going to do. it is a weird thing that we feel as though closed-minded is that magical word that if you utter, it should stop all activities. Be like, oh, I don't want to be seen as being closed-minded. Oh, no. They've thrown this at me. Are they correct? Am I closed-minded? Blah, blah, blah. I just like James Randi's explanation. It's like you try to have an open mind, but not so open that your brain falls out. Like, an open mind is one where you're open to evidence. I mean, they don't offer evidence. I'm halfway through my list, and already you're starting to say, this is just – how can anyone actually believe that there is a vast wall of ice that protects all the oceans from spilling off the sides?
You know, when you first told me that we were going to be talking about this on the show, and I had read your post, but I hadn't got into the comments. I checked out the FAQ, and, you know, when you're in a forum – I guess you realize that there's a bunch of people in this forum talking about this stuff, but you got to figure that a lot of the people are coming in just to talk shit about it and stuff like that. I didn't actually believe that there were people who, I was on the fence as to whether or not I could believe that people were actually out there in significant numbers, believing this stupidity. And it freaked me out quite a bit going into the comments and reading people, reading comments from people defending these views and saying that we're the closed-minded ones. I'm like, well, you've closed your mind to the idea that you are stupid and wrong on this particularly idiotic fucking theory. It's like, unbelievable how dumb it is. If the first question in your FAQ is this a joke, then you have a problem. If the second one...
sign.
If the second one where they say – where the question is, why do you think the earth is flat? And your answer is because Samuel Rowbotham, a dude from 1860, did some stuff, then you were wrong. This is the best that you could pull up as far as scientists agreeing with your theory is guys from 1860. Let me tell you some other things that were going on around 1860. The telegraph was just starting to be used in America. Billy the Kid was born in 1860.
And Billy the Kid!
Billy the Kid. So we're talking fucking the height of the Wild West. Nice. And Abraham Lincoln was nominated as the Republican candidate for president. So some progress was made, and in other areas, not so much.
Not so much. I'm like, if that's your ace in the hole, this one gentleman, oh, this ignorant man who knew nothing of the universe. Yes. What have you to say? Let's continue down the list because
before we move on, I just want to talk a little bit more about Samuel Rowbotham, who's like
who did
experiments. Just one paragraph from his wiki page I will read to you guys. Just and I think it will sum up everything about him that you need to know. In 1861, Rowbotham was married for a second time to the 16-year-old daughter of his laundress and settled in London, producing 14 children, of whom 4 survived. So yes, once again, just a little sign of the time as to you have 14 children, only 4 survive. It's a good time for science right there.
Those are great odds.
He was also alleged to be using the name Dr. Samuel Burley, selling the secrets for prolonging human life and curing every disease imaginable. And De Morgan refers to him as S. Goulden as well. He patented a number of inventions, including a life-preserving cylindrical railway carriage. Obviously, this guy is a fucking con artist. He is just another snake oil salesman. He is, it just amazes me that anybody would include, like, this is question number two. Why do you believe this? Because Samuel Robotham did some stuff.
Because P.T. Barnum told me so.
He said it was the most amazing show on Earth, and he was right.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Come see the flat Earth. The moon is only 32 miles in diameter and is full of moon shrimp, which I didn't include this in the article, by the way, because I could not figure out if this whole moon shrimp business, which is essentially this idea that the moon has light in it because luminescent shrimp live all over the moon.
Oh, what? I missed that part. Is that on there?
Well, here's the thing. Do a search in moon shrimp, because as far as it goes, even in the flat earthers, there's many people, like, it's divided. There's some people saying, like, this is just trolling. People pretending that they're flat earthers saying they believe in moon shrimp to discredit us, which I'm like, that's probably, some of it is probably happening. But like Poe's Law, where you're like, it is so ridiculous and ludicrous, no one could believe this. I'm like, actually, did you do any research about summarizing your other beliefs? Because we're just about to go to the next one. Because I wasn't done.
There's a whole bunch, yeah. Like when you're talking about there's division amongst the ranks, you can even see that in the FAQ, because they talk about, one of the questions is, please explain sunrises and sunsets. Because obviously when you're talking about the Earth being round and the sun, the Earth circling the sun, it gets a little bit difficult. They talk about it being a perspective effect. The sun is just getting further away. It looks like it's disappearing because everything gets smaller, and eventually it just disappears because it gets so far away. But other people have this, I would say that this is a better sounding theory, because obviously this is a very, that's not a good enough fucking answer.
Why does it look bigger right when it's about to disappear?
These other people have started putting together, they're working on a theory in the forums called the theory of electromagnetic acceleration. It's being developed and reviewed by members of this forum, so you know it's going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's a theory in motion? Is that what it
mm-hmm.
is? Yeah.
And plus,
I look forward to it.
There's discussion about what's underneath the Earth. This was my favorite question out of everything. The question, what is underneath the Earth? And they say, this is unknown. Most flat Earth proponents believe this is generally composed of rocks. Oh, that's a good answer. There's rocks. What's under the Earth? Rocks. But then they add, please note
score.
That please note that in Hinduism, the Earth rests on the back of four elephants and a turtle. Now, I just want to know why they would bring up that Hindu, like, are they trying to say maybe it's not rocks, maybe it's turtles, or are they just saying, hey, we don't have the dumbest theory. Rocks isn't the dumbest answer you could give. The Hindus have an even dumber answer,
yeah.
So back off.
Can I just ask this? Why do you need the four elephants if the turtle can support the elephants? I don't get it.
Turtles don't go fast enough, stupid.
What? No, that doesn't make any sense. Look, the elephants are on the turtle's back. So the Earth could rest on the turtle's back. What is so wrong about the turtle that it's just like that we need elephants in this fucking picture?
And I suppose
some elephants not needed.
If everything is falling, I guess speed is kind of out of the picture. Like, I could show you a really fast-moving turtle. I'll fucking fire it out of a cannon.
Right, especially if it's accelerating at 9.81 meters per second squared, sir. That's pretty fast. Constantly accelerate. Oh, they explain the constant acceleration, I forgot, by dark energy. Yeah. See, but this is what I mean. Like, they obviously recognize that dark energy and dark matter are ripping the universe apart faster and faster, compensating for actually the strength of gravity to hold the universe together and essentially make it kind of come back. It's called the Big Rip, which is probably the best theory we have going. Again, model, right? But it's testable. So yeah, they're like, well, that's what's accelerating things. this other mysterious science we just really don't understand. Or if we do understand, only in the context that it's applicable to our very, very narrow belief system. Very narrow. Like, what the fuck fits in there? I just have to wonder. Like, what kind of science fits in there? I just don't understand. I don't even understand when you can talk about electromagnetic radiation or any electromagnetism as the paper you're suggesting, and even sort of wonder, actually, guys, how is it that we have a magnetosphere, huh? Huh? How does that work? How does a fucking compass work, you genius? How does it work in your just little magic playland? Is there a giant magnet underneath this layer of rock? Is that it? Just a big giant fridge magnet or something?
There can be magnets in the rocks, just like there can be lava in the rocks.
There could be anything down there, and who knows how thick this disc is. What? Yeah. And you know what? The other thing that I find kind of hilarious, and I just want to call this out to anybody. I mean, this is a pretty simple little science trick that you can do yourself. Take some hot soup, all right, and put it in a really sort of circular bowl. And then take that same hot soup and then put it on a really large plate, really, really big plate. Which one do you think is going to cool the fastest? Yeah, I don't think.
This is a question for me, or is this just rhetorical?
It's a question for you now because you hesitated.
Shit. Put me on the spot. I would say the one that cools would be the one on the bigger plate.
Right. And that's just because there's so much more surface area to it, and it's just the heat loss is so much greater. That's kind of why smaller bodies in outer space lose heat a lot faster. It's kind of like one of those principles that if you want to get cold quicker, be alone, be isolated. And the fucked up thing, too, about the universe is that eventually, you know, like if you crowd together, you can stay hot. But the problem is that if you get a little overcrowded, things get fucked up and explodey. But that's the universe for you. So, yeah, a flat Earth. I mean, if you even thought that everything else could just work, that you'd be like, yeah, there's just probably a layer of molten lava. I'm like, it would cool just as quick as that soup would in fucking no time. Okay? It would be cool so fast. Or maybe, I guess in your world, whatever's accelerating us might be pretty hot. You know, maybe it's just a bunch of rockets back there. So maybe that's what's creating all the heat, huh? Big giant alien rockets pushing the Earth forward. The giant disc, the holy disc of life that's sort of like just different from everything else. It's so magical.
This was an interesting response I found in the comments when people were talking about this. One of the atheist people came in and basically said that flat earthers are effectively harmless. Their flat earth does not demand tribute or sacrifice or subjugation of others, so I won't give it any more thought. And I was kind of thinking, the only reason that these flat earthers are marginalized and everybody thinks they're stupid is just because the flat earthism never really got taken up by any religions. I mean, think about Galileo, who got his shit wrecked over saying the earth wasn't the center of the universe. It's no less, well, I guess it is less stupid than this, but
yeah.
But there's parallels to that and this other situation here. Anytime religion gets its hand into anything, do we really think that flat earth theory is smarter than thinking humankind started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a talking snake, tricked Eve into eating a magic apple, and then God was angry, and that's why childbirth sucks, and then God gave his son to us, we killed him, and that made everything awesome and good, until Jesus comes back and kills all of us again, because apparently we aren't saved? Is flat earthism any stupider than that?
That's a good question. I don't know how to judge it. It's really difficult. How do you judge ridiculousness? I guess you only judge it based on how much it's accepted. And that's the kind of weird thing, because for how long have we believed in ridiculous things? A very, very long time. Maybe in the future someone may think that we believe in ridiculous things now. We can only hope that we don't. But we can definitely smell the much, you know, like the really ludicrous, the saying that, by the way, how do they explain eclipses? Well, with something they call an anti-moon, mysterious object that emits no light and even absorbs it. It just magically just fits over the moon.
And of course, nobody can scientifically see this and prove that it exists. See, that at that point, this is the big problem. You know, I tried to put myself in the mind frame of saying, you know, what if everything that you knew was a lie? And start from that point. I don't know.
Yeah,
you
matrixy,
know,
you know, like, oh my god, reanalyze everything. Blah.
Exactly. Like, get off your meds and get really crazy into the conspiracy shit and just try to imagine it. But here's the problem. Everything that we have come across in our day-to-day experience, you know, maybe a couple thousand years ago, I could understand why people would think this, because there wasn't all that evidence to the contrary just floating around there in your day-to-day life. But, I mean, we mentioned this. There was that YouTube video that you mentioned, I think, in the comments that showed, what was it, this dad and some kids in this neighborhood, and I think it was New York. They put together a balloon, and they stick a camera in there, and they let the balloon go, and it goes up, and it gets way the fuck up. It gets up so high that you can see the shape of the earth.
Yep.
And then the balloon.
Well, that's what I suggested. I suggested to one of these fucking clowns, I'm like, here's a scientific experiment to find out if it's true. It shouldn't float up. Even if the earth is accelerating, the balloon will accelerate at the same rate. So it should float up, and you'll see if it's a disc or not. Or if there's any turtles or anything else, or if there's moon shrimps. You might even be able to see it from that high up. It gets pretty fucking high up.
Yeah, and so that immediately discounts it. I mean, they have their own theory as to how the atmosphere works, completely disproven by all sorts of practical day-to-day science that has to be true, otherwise people would die. As to how the atmosphere works, what's under the earth? They say rocks. Scientists say, well, it's this many miles of this, this many miles of this. This is the buildup of the minerals and everything like that. Trust me, they know what's down there, because if it's worth anything, they're going to go and get it.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, part of the reason why we know what cores of planets are made of is just because of not only the distribution of elements throughout the universe, right? But also sort of like specifically in our solar system. And there's a kind of process that happens where the heavier elements kind of sink down to the middle, right? Because they're heavier. And those end up being like lots of radioactive materials, which is important because it's part of what keeps the core really fucking hot, is it's just very radioactive down there. And there's just all that heat and pressure and stuff like that. And lo and behold, we've seen examples of plenty of other planets that have magnetospheres, just because of the way that the physics of planets just works. So it's pretty cool when you think that these laws are universal. I wish you could almost grab one of these guys and be like, your flat earth shit is so dull and boring. Like, seriously, pick up a fucking book about what discoveries we've made. I'm like, did you know, dude, that we've isolated antimatter for over 15 minutes? Like in Star Trek, yeah. You know, where they have it in a different container and shit? It's happening.
Yeah, there's many more interesting world theories to subscribe to. I love the multiple dimension one. I love that
the
shit.
Swiss cheese shit, like where each black hole creates like a new universe and stuff.
If you want to get into some crazy nut job stuff, why don't you get into some interesting cutting edge stuff like that? Flat Earth Society, maybe a couple hundred years ago. Look, I mean, this all got figured out. Remember back in 1860 with that douchebag who basically, quote unquote, figured all this stuff. It was immediately discounted back then. And it was discounted because they figured out, well, everybody has known since basically 1600 that light refraction exists. And any experiment that proved, quote unquote, that the Earth was flat only worked if you didn't take into account light refraction. And Snell's law, which has been around since the 1600s, basic and is used by people who navigated via the stars, because you kind of need to figure this out. They all knew that that wasn't the case, and they took it into their calculation and they figured out everything correctly. It just blows me away that in 2011 we have people who are still thinking this, and it really it gets to.
But how are
they
different? How are they different? It's the same strategy. It's like people will like even in the future, okay, in the time of say, even if Star Trek existed, I bet you there'd be some that would still believe in fucking flat Earths or whatever. It there are just some people that get caught, and like we said before, these intellectual black holes. There's something appealing there. I don't know what it is because every individual is different, and finding out those universal appeals, I think, is a fucking mistake anyways. What were you going
to
say?
It goes back to the whole idea of is debating these flat earthers worthy of our time. And again, it's not a joke. There are people who really believe this, and I think it shows a serious flaw in our human nature. We wonder why we're still having problems accepting the fact that God isn't real, but evolution is, when nonsense like flat earthism can still exist.
And be defended, like, vehemently. Like, it was just insane. Like, 60 comments? Like, and we normally just get, like, fucking 10, all right? This is just kind of ridiculous. This is like an explosion. And of just people saying, you know, mostly of them accusatory in regards to me. Although I did fuel the flames a little bit. I can't help it. I'm human. God
well,
damn
it. It's funny that the arguments opened up because you had a spelling mistake in your thing. And you know me. I talk shit about you for your spelling mistakes all the time. I hope you take heed. And now you know that if there's a spelling mistake in there, the first thing people who believe that the earth is flat will do is say, you spelt that word, nonsense word that we invented wrong.
Yeah. The word itself was atmolayer. I actually spelled it at most layer. So I put an S there, unfortunately. It just – here's what's weird when I was writing it too. It just felt odd in my brain. Like I couldn't work out atmo layer. Like what the fuck is an atmo layer? Oh, it's a layer of gas on a disc.
Yeah, what? I bet you they got rid of the S because the S reminded because obviously they changed it from atmosphere to atmos layer or to atmo layer.
Well,
because
it's atmo is just like air and sphere, you know.
Well, they wanted to get rid of sphere. They wanted to get rid of sphere, and if you leave that S in there, it's like evidence of the sphere still in there, and the sphere is a lie, man. It's a conspiracy. There's no such thing as satellites. They're just firing rockets up into space to keep us all down and not make us realize the fact that the Earth is flat and there's an ice wall around us. And
don't forget that the ice wall is actually defended by a gigantic government conspiracy. This is all governments, by the way. All world governments are involved in this conspiracy because, as far as I can understand it, there is no reason to prevent you from knowing this. Perhaps other than madness, maybe crazy madness. Maybe the flat earthers are the only people on this planet that are capable of grasping this insane truth because it is so insane. It makes no sense.
I like this world they live in because it's a world where all the governments can get together and agree to keep something this ridiculously gigantic to themselves. And all the airlines, too. Every single airline pilot making like $11 an hour is going to be like, hey, by the way, the Earth isn't shaped the way it should be. I've been lying about the, you know, the GPS programs that we make when you're flying from, I don't know, Sydney to Vancouver, it's all a lie.
Like, is it? Do you think it's to the point where this is probably an indication? Like, what would you say is the statistical odds of these people being on heavy medication or suffering from some form of perhaps schizophrenia or anything like that? Because I've always felt like there's a mass appeal in conspiracy theories for people that suffer from these kinds of, you know, from personality disorders, from like social disorders, and you're like there is I think that's the appeal of them. That's why they stick around, where you just feel it feeds into your paranoia. You have to be paranoid to think that they would want to keep the ice wall secret. Like, that's pretty fucking paranoid. Like, do you think someone is going to come and steal your toenails in the night? Like, kind of paranoid. That's pretty paranoid, and that's messed up paranoid, because this is still fairly messed up. Like, we'll climb the ice wall and just jump over the side? Is that what you're going to do? It makes space exploration real easy. Real easy. Just a fucking catapult.
I also don't understand why these people haven't done – like again, it goes back to the idea, what's under the Earth? Rocks. What happens if you go over to the ice wall? Government stops you. It's like, I'm sure there are better answers than this. I'm sure there are ways that you could prove your theories if they were provable at all.
Well, they have weird requirements. Like they're saying, like the problem is if you try to drive all the way south or all the way one way, you're going to actually drive in a circle if you follow the compass. They say, like, well, an experiment could be made if you could compensate for that. And you're like, well, you can actually compensate for that. You have to use magnetic north. So there is a way to do it. Of course, they're not going to do it. Why would they do it? They're not interested in any proof. They're interested in going to, say, a site like ours and then, just accusing us of being close-minded to their ludicrousness. I want to make sure that we keep the same opinion about, say, flat Earth as we do other religions. Like, there's no reason why we ridicule these guys, and everybody else who believes in similar ludicrous, indefensible ideas should be equally mocked. It's like, sorry if you're the one being mocked. Stop believing in something embarrassingly stupid. I beg of you. Clearly, you're not dumb, all right? People were able to spot my spelling mistakes. Good for you. Good for you. Clearly, you have a brain. Now use it. It's obviously not being used.
If you're interested in science and geography and the, like, theories about the world and its place in the galaxy and in the universe, then there's a lot of more interesting, fertile fields for you to plow that will not end up with us questioning whether or not you need to be on medication or perhaps see a psychiatrist or, I don't know, be locked up in an insane asylum. There's a whole bunch of interesting stuff going on, cutting edge stuff. You could be on the edge. You could have all sorts of crazy theories. And you know what? Because it's all such question marks, 50 years from now, you could find out you're right instead of with this. I mean, I can't even imagine. Imagine Thanksgiving dinner with some of these people, and you've got to imagine it would come up, because look at it like this. These are people that go onto this forum, and they interact on this forum, and then there's a track back from the good atheist, and they go to good atheist, and they argue on the good atheist, and they, I give them props for holding their grounds, but you got to figure they're probably just as vocal as, say, your stereotypical atheist. So imagine the Thanksgiving dinner, everybody's sitting around, and you have to listen to crazy Uncle Larry talking about his flat Earth theories. How does that go over? What's up with that?
Yeah, that's a great Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I've had times where I've had to hold my tongue during certain conversations, because you just know how some people are. Like, it is impossible to really break through and say you believe in something ridiculous. It is a delusion. You have fooled yourself, and you've created this elaborate explanation to make this ludicrous thing work in your world. Don't you see that there's, like, again, like, beyond the whole mental illness or possibly on fucking medication,
there's no excuse.
How can you excuse this in today's modern day and age? You can do it with a fucking weather balloon. Check out the Brooklyn Space Program. I'll have a link on it. I put it on in the article too, because I linked to them. You know what disappointed me about the Brooklyn Space Program?
What's that?
I made him a logo, and I was like, because I thought it was just so awesome. I'd love to see more amateur, space exploration, because I think we can get to that point. You know, the technological understanding of our society, manufacturing, and those kinds of things are good enough that with a bit of money, an amateur can do amateur space exploration. So I thought maybe I could do my part, make a nice logo, and I emailed them and I said, I made a nice logo. Are you interested? And they never got back to me. In fact, they haven't updated. So I don't know what the hell happened. I think it was just a one-time thing. And I think that sucks.
Well, I'm not going to crap on them for not using your logo. There are times where you've turned things into me. Remember the Jackal 2.0 logo?
No, but I mean, they didn't even take a look at it. And they didn't have a logo. Like, they didn't even have one. They just had normal text. My logo was cool. Trust me. It was cool.
Well, it's too bad that they didn't do more experiments. Maybe what's necessary is, because that was a pretty interesting idea, and I do wonder about what other ideas there are. I mean, amateur space exploration is a tough nut to crack if you're not creative and smart. So maybe they just need some scientists to make a book with like 50 ideas that you can do to get your kid into the space race for under $100.
Well, regardless, what I liked about the Brooklyn Space Program was that it was kind of – it showed that you can find things out for yourself, you know, like the technology exists now not just, say, to educate yourself but even to experiment with shit. You can do science, okay? You. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg sometimes to do it. It is surprisingly simple, and it can be very useful science. You would be fucking surprised. That's just what I liked about it, and I wanted to do my part. There wasn't much I could do, but I was like, well, I can lend my moderate skills as a graphic designer and just offer it up. And you know I don't do that too often. So it was just disappointing that they didn't at least want to see it. That's all.
Yeah, I'm sure they read it. You know how it is. You send an email, you don't get a response, you think it hasn't been read, but I mean, I'm sure when that guy's video went viral, because it did go viral, he probably got like 7,000 emails.
Yeah, he probably did. Oh well, too bad, too bad. Anyways, let's move on, because obviously, what else can we say about this topic other than the fact that I'm very glad that I put up that post. I'm just happy. I'm happy that the trackbacks were followed, and that they came on the site and just reminded us that of the power of crazy beliefs, regardless of what those are.
Reminded us that they were real.
Yeah, they exist, man.
Man.
They are fucking out there. Something else I want to talk about, just real quick. I want to hear your opinion on this. I don't know if you saw it. I put up a video of the Miss USA pageant, and they had a whole bunch of contestants talking about evolution.
Oh God, I actually did not watch the video. No. Okay. I read the post, but I thought that it was, I didn't think it was real. I thought it was going to be like a satire one.
No, it's not satire. It's totally real. Okay, you know what? We'll talk about it on the bonus show. Watch it. We'll have a conversation on the bonus show.
It's 15 minutes long. Is it 15 minutes really of these Miss USA people talking about evolution? God, it's when
I know. That's why I said like next bonus show. You're gonna have to work it out like in a couple of sittings. I haven't made it through yet entirely.
When presidential nominees don't believe in evolution and they say the dumbest things about it, I can't even imagine what beauty pageant contestants are gonna. You know, I wouldn't even be surprised if a lot of it is pandering. God knows if you're Miss Alabama or something like that, or Miss Tennessee, and you know how love Tennessee.
It's not popular vote, okay? It's not the population of votes. It's fucking judges. So you're not pandering to anybody. This is what they genuinely believe. I'm sure this is what they genuinely – look, when I say believe, and this was the whole thing I wanted to talk about. Maybe we will talk about it. You can watch it later. I recommend anybody watch it so that you can develop your opinions. My problem with it was that even those that agreed that evolution should be taught, I felt uncomfortable watching the whole thing because it didn't appear that they knew why it should anyways. It's like, oh, so glad you're on our side. Do you even understand, like, why it is important, or is this just a fucking talking point? Like, if you're at that point where you just can't even answer that question, why are we asking these women these questions? Like, I don't want to be a sexist pig here and say that, all beauty pageants are fucking idiots. That's not what I'm suggesting here. You can watch the video and determine that for yourself.
Well, look, I will say this. What we do with our lives determines a lot about how much we know. You know, scientists obviously know a fuck of a lot about what they're up to because that's their day job and they spend all of their time doing it. Atheists are generally pretty well educated about atheistic subjects and are usually more educated about religion and the Bible than their religious counterparts. There was a poll. You know, MSNBC, they started their belief blog like a year ago. They said over the year they've learned a bunch of stuff and they found that atheists are way more educated than religious people. Surprise, surprise there. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me that if your job is just to look pretty and have good social skills, then, you know, on the scientific front, you're not going to be the most educated. And it doesn't mean that you're inherently stupid. It just means that you haven't spent your time looking into this. There's so many areas of life to explore, and nobody can be an expert in everything. If you're a model, there's a good chance that you're spending all of your time on your modeling career and traveling around and living the life. I don't blame you for not spending a hell of a lot of time dusting up on evolution. It is unfortunate when your opinion gets asked, and rather than just say, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about on this subject, so I'll just
refrain from
commenting.
I wish that's what they would have said. I wish that's what they would have said. I mean, it would – or just the very fact that they would ask that question. I mean, like, I understand that it's just a question that's going to make everybody interested, but it's not going to make anybody look good, you know? It makes everything just seem so – I mean, it's embarrassing first and foremost. Every other country I can imagine, except with the exception of perhaps Turkey, would watch this and be like, really? You're going to have a discussion. You're going to ask these ladies if they think that it should be taught in school. Should evolution be taught in school? I don't know. Should gravity? Really? You're going to have a discussion with these women about what they should be taught in school? Like, what were they taught in school? Huh? Like, you had this one woman, like, the Miss Arkansas. She's like, well, I was never taught it in school. I'm like, oh, you're going to have a great opinion about it now. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, guess what? You don't even have the option of knowing what the fuck it is. This is the problem here, where people don't even know what it is, and they're like, I don't want it taught. Ah, I see. Well, obviously, you have a very, very educated opinion about what you believe. We should listen to you as much as everyone else who's actually bothered to figure out what the fuck it's all about. You should have equal say. And I guess that is pretty much how they operate in places like Texas. That's why they allow normal people to go on, be part of school boards. And that's why you have probably some of the worst educational standards in the world. Like, that's sad. Your population that doesn't know anything about science, for instance, is dictating science for your future generation. What do you think that is going to do to your country? It's like, you want to know why your country is in trouble? It happened way before when you decided we're just going to not teach these critical subjects that are so vital for any industrialized nation. We think we should probably keep them ignorant. I mean,
don't forget celebrating stupidity over science and reason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and when your typical attitude or thought when you're like discussing higher education, which still I have my doubts about and I'm not a biggest fan, but nevertheless, it's still around, it's still available, and it's still the best we got so far. When your first attitude is like, this is going to be a party, you're in serious trouble. Serious trouble. Because there's lots of other people that want your place in the world. You know, like the kind of luxuries that you take for granted that other countries are desperately vying for, especially as the resources become exceedingly limited. They're going to try to beat you in your own game, and they really care about the stuff that they're learning, because as far as they're concerned, that's their ticket to the things that you take for granted.
Yeah, globalization is still in its early phases, and I don't think America is going to – North America, I mean Canada included, we're not going to be saved by this. It's just going to get worse and worse for us as globalization really kicks in and there's a quote-unquote equal playing field for everybody. I mean, for God's sakes – India is already taking care of all of your tech support. Think about that for a second. Tech support. When I was growing up, tech support was like the best teenager job fucking ever.
It was pretty sweet. It paid through tons of parties and bars and clubs when I was a young man.
But now Indians are doing it. And you don't think that it's only – like now that the money's going there, it's going to raise everything up. Everything's going to get better. I mean, they always talk about the fact, oh, if we raise taxes and we do this and we do that, then businesses are just going to go elsewhere. And I always say, well, then they just won't have access to our markets. Well, guess what? There are other markets. There are a lot more people and they are a lot less bitchy and they have a lot less say because they have a lot shittier governments.
Yeah, the cool thing even about the third world, and people I don't think really understand, there was an article in Harvard Business Review back in 2008 that I just loved, and I felt like this was underappreciated. He was just talking about doing business with the rest of the world. I'm like, sure, there are billions of poor people, but they don't have $0, and they do have certain needs. And in fact, being able to provide for those might be one of the things that actually could improve their lives. It's like one of those weird things. If you don't want to do business with them and there's no trade or transaction, how can they grow? How the fuck can they grow? Anyways, That's my economic rant. I did want to end the show with just this little piece of hilarious news. It's not a big piece, but I put it over the weekend, so last weekend, so I don't know if everybody caught it, where a dog was sentenced to stoning by an Orthodox Jewish rabbinical court. Essentially, the rabbis thought that the stray dog was the reincarnation of a secular lawyer that had insulted them and that they had placed a curse upon. He had perished, and then the dog wanders into the temple and it won't leave, and they're all kind of scared, and they think it's a really unclean animal, so they freak out about it, and so they condemn it to death via stoning.
Where are these people from? Like, what, like, is this like those really crazy hardcore moils and like, in Israel, or are we talking about like some weirdos in New York, or?
Oh, you're asking me sort of
where are these
Jews people from?
Where, what kind of Jews?
This is in Jerusalem. This is in Israel. So these are the ultra Orthodox Jews.
Man.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you the level of discourse and logic going on in their religious sphere.
No kidding. I didn't even realize. Like, I guess I got to brush up on my study of some forms of Judaism. I didn't even know that they believed in reincarnation. That was a fucking revelation. Be like, oh, I did not know this. Hello, dog reincarnation. Like, what?
There's a lot of really weird stuff going on in like the hardcore Israeli Jewish religious people over there. It's creepy, and you know, the more you read up on it, the harder it is to keep a balanced perspective about what's going on in the Middle East and what they should be doing. I mean, obviously we're ridiculously leftist, being from Canada, we're practically pinkos, socialist pinkos. We obviously want peace in the Middle East. And we feel like the best way that that could be sorted out would probably be by getting rid of the ghetto that is Palestine. But I can understand that people believe that if you do that, people are just going to move rockets in and bomb the shit out of Israel. I understand that. But when you take a closer look at the religious influence that's going on over there and the neocon attitude, it's pretty scary and freaky. And, yeah. And it's hard to side with Israel. With a lot of the stuff that they continue to be doing.
The problem in Israel is that although most of the population, when polled, would view a Palestinian state favorably, they tend to vote ultra-conservative, especially because the much older generations do a lot more voting than the younger generation. So there's a bit of a disconnect here between what the majority of the population wants and how the country acts. But it's also partially due to fear. I mean, like, if you make any policy decisions as a government or anything else like that based on fear, then automatically we know that you're fucked up. But that's kind of like a clue.
You're
like, how do I know
that
you're messed? Yeah. You are a problem. You're like, let's say you used fear as a tactic. Yeah. It works. Sure. Definitely it works. But that's the kind of thing that we're trying to move away from, because we realize there are very dangerous consequences to using fear, especially if you're using fear of outsiders as a way of trying to generate social cohesion. That tends to lend to, wars, genocides, those kinds of things. Outgroupness, not such a great tool. And whenever you have particular ideologies, like, say, Orthodox Judaism, which is predicated on that very notion. Like, and trust me, I'm sure at this level of ultra Orthodox, it's like cousin marrying to make sure that everybody's nice and Jewish. It gets pretty sick and twisted, and that's just a manifestation of kind of like this impulse that we have to just create social groups and alienate others. And you're like, not recommendable, especially when seasoned with the cocktail of fear. Please. You do stupid shit like fucking trying to stone a dog, which luckily, by the way, he did escape. And when an animal rights organization in the country filed a complaint, at first the rabbi lied about it. Of course he lied about it. But don't worry, though. He wasn't committing a sin, because it's not against their religion to lie to non-Jews. So he did the right thing, everybody.
Awesome.
But here's what's cool, okay? Just if you thought that humanity could not be redeemed, there was a person, one of the managers, it's not identified who, but one of the managers reported and confirmed that the particular rabbi, Abraham Don Levin, had indeed sentenced the dog to be stoned to death by children, by the way.
By children?
Yeah, he wanted kids to.
I'm sorry. That's so horrible.
Yep. Local children. He wanted the local children to stone this dog to death.
Because it was an enemy from a former life.
That's right. That's how we end the show this week. With my apologies
What happened to the dog? They stopped this, right?
Yeah. I told you he escaped.
Okay.
Did you not listen? You don't listen.
I kind of phased out for a second, I guess.
That's fine. I'll repeat, just in case everyone else like you phased out, which they probably do. Yes, the dog lived. I repeat, the dog lived. Everything's fine. This guy has been embarrassed. Some children luckily did not do what they were told. That's good on them. Although I don't know if they're going to be punished. Like, that's a weird one. You didn't do what the rabbi told you to do, which was clearly wrong. What's going on? Anyways, a little piece of religious news that I thought everybody would enjoy that hadn't heard about it before. Because, I mean, you know how quickly these things get buried, eh?
I saw the headline. I read a little bit into it, but I had never heard that that he was going to get kids to stone the dog.
I don't think I mentioned that part until now. I didn't realize that was a that significant part of the story until you started laughing at it. I'm like, oh yeah, he got kids to try to do it. Well, they got to learn about stoning somehow.
They are our future. They are our future, Jacob.
Think about it. You got to work up. First, you start with a cat, then you move to a dog, then you move to a horse, then you move to a person.
It's maybe over there when you get married. Instead of stepping on a glass, you step on a kitten's head. Jesus Christ!
Right, of a reincarnated enemy.
Cursed.
That you placed the dark curse. I'm like, wow, man, you really hated this poor secular lawyer. I wonder what he said. He apparently insulted them, which is, I guess, the worst that one can expect.
It's almost worth it to fly over there, like, do a little tour of Israel and go over and, like, fart in their general directions.
I don't know. Doing something offensive, I'm afraid that they're going to get the local kids to stone us to death. And this time they might do it. I don't know if we can escape. Are you as fast as a dog? I'm not. All right, before we leave, I'd like to thank everybody who's a contributing member to the site. Thank you so much for your membership. We appreciate it. It helps us do what we do. We're going to be introducing all kinds of new bonus content coming up real soon. I'm going to be offering the survey. I hope we're going to be finished the survey questions by next week because I want to launch the contest then. So you can go in and basically the survey, it's going to be very, very concise. We're going to try to make it concise, but it's asking you about the next version of the Good Atheist. So it's not only about the chance of winning a membership, even if you are a member or you don't even give a shit about winning, but you want to see some changes to the site, your voices should be heard. So be sure to either email me or let me know in the comments of this podcast if you're interested in the survey questions. We'll get in touch with you and we'll send you those and you'll automatically be enrolled if you fill it out. And it won't be hard.
And it'll only make us better. We'll waste less time doing the things you don't like, more time on the things that you do like. It's good for everybody. And it'll take you like 3 minutes, maybe.
And you know what? If you're going to complain about the next version, you have you to blame, Mr. I didn't participate because I only listen. And then whenever I go home, I forget about what Jacob said and I didn't do what he said because I have a attention span. Write it down, man. Write it fucking down.
Oh, well, we'll remind them anyways. They don't have to write it down. We'll get in touch.
They should still write it down. They're going to forget. Don't tell them to not write it down. Be a team player. We are at a bank. Yeah. Be the team player on my improv here.
Okay.
Write it down. Yes.
Yes.
Write it down.
That dog.
Stone that fucking dog. With that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.